Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us. My name is Andrew Badger, and I'm joined here with David Shedd. We are the co-authors of an upcoming book called The Great Heist, China's Epic Campaign to Steal America's Secrets, which will be released on December 2nd. Today, we're going to go through five key insights for the Big Idea Club. David, thanks for joining.
Delighted to be here, and it's an important topic to talk about.
So our first key insight from the Grace Heist is that this is the largest state-directed theft of technology and knowledge in history.
Well, Andrew, you and I have a background in recruiting spies, handling spies, and doing so in a very traditional way. What we have seen and what we cover in the Great Heist is that when people hear espionage, they think of that traditional model going back to the Cold War. But in fact, it is entirely different in the case of the Chinese experience that we are facing today. It is at scale, it's ambitious, it's ubiquitous, and it is in fact the best coordinated heist or theft of technology, intellectual property, and the know-how that goes along with it in human history. China has operationalized espionage as a whole of society through their National Security Act of 2015 and then their Intelligence Act of 2017 in such a way that every Chinese citizen and business entity must cooperate with the Chinese Communist Party when called upon. That makes it materially different as it goes after students, startups, insider threats, and promoting that, forcing tech transfers, the use of lawfare, venture, and all forms of capital to do this in programs like the Thousand Talents. Why did we write this book? We did so because we realized no one had really pulled all the various pieces together into a single coherent story. And the true scope and magnitude of the operations has gone in many ways unrecognized. This is statecraft built on a capture, raise, and kill tactics that we can elaborate on, and certainly the book covers. It fuels Xi Jinping's national rejuvenation and in many ways locks in the power of the Chinese Communist Party.
Great. Thank you, David. And moving on to our second key insight, the Great Heist directly threatens American prosperity, jobs, and long-term global power. So, like David mentioned, when we look at the Great Heist, or in other words, China's unprecedented decades-long state covert operation to steal America's secrets, too often we see these Wall Street Journal headlines about the latest Chinese theft of data, whether that's a cyber attack, whether that's an insider threat, an employee, and it gets forgotten about. What we do in the book is we tell the whole picture, we zoom out and we tell why China has done this in order to accomplish this goal of self-rejuvenation, as well as what the implications of it are going to be. And one of the key points from this is that the nature of power has transformed in the 21st century. It's no longer simply tanks or planes. It's now ones and zeros. It's code. And these are not just in classified SCIFs that David and I used to work in the government. These are in the boardrooms. These are in lab rooms. These are in startups. These are in Silicon Valley. All these areas are the new vector or field of competition with China. And the final key point here is that China has used this Great Heist, this covert operation to steal America's secrets, really to slingshot themselves from a medium, even a third-rate power, to now a peer competitor along the lines of a superpower with the United States. And it can't be emphasized enough just how critical this is. It's fundamentally reshaped the global balance of power through this espionage, through this theft. Everything from hypersonic technology, which are cutting-edge weapons, which will reshape the battlefields of Asia Pacific and can be used to destroy American aircraft carriers and also upset the nuclear deterrence balance between China and the U.S., to everything, to F-35 fighter planes, to the microchips in those planes. China has stolen the knowledge for these weapons, and it has now catapulted itself to a peer competitor with the United States, which we're going to be living with the implications of for decades to come.
And I think, Andrew, it's worth underscoring that they've done this in a concerted manner with all forms of, again, going with the whole of society approach in what we call in the book and develop the storyline around Made in China 2025, which kicked off alongside of the soft power of Belt and Road in 2015 then. And so for the last 10 years, but there's a continuum into the future, and we'll talk about how we address the challenges associated with this and contain it.
David, that goes really well into our third key insight, and that this is China pulled off this great heist because we were complacent while Beijing planned decades ahead. And really, this kicks off, right, David, with China's entrance in the World Trade Organization in 2001.
Exactly right. But even there, there were antecedents in where China was at a low-tech level producing knockoff products that I think we've all heard about in terms of being sold on the street. But it really is, as you know, the joining of the World Trade Organization in December of 2001 was really the, whether it was naivete or certainly the wishful thinking that if China were to join the WTO, it would play by the international rules. And this really ultimately enabled China to actually raise their game of stealing our secrets, not only in the United States, but the West more generally. It was also enabled by hubris. It is this idea of a wishful thinking that if I invest in the Chinese market, I will make a lot of money. It will be almost an insatiable marketplace for being able to sell my products. And this came as a result of believing something that simply was false. These are self-inflicted wounds. CIA in the desire to actually not impair China's entry into the WTO closed down CIA operations during the 1990s in advance of that membership. There was a complacency that you've already mentioned in terms of corporate America and later scrapping the China initiative with the Department of Justice to really go after the type of spying that we're talking about in this book. Meanwhile, Beijing planned decades ahead, as I mentioned, with Made in China 2025, in which it became a blueprint for this industrial espionage at scale. Under Xi Jinping, the MSS, the Ministry of State Security, is a global juggernaut. It's no longer the JV team. This is a first-class, enormous intelligence apparatus, both domestically and with foreign intelligence capabilities, that includes, of course, covering the cyber warfare aspects that they're involved in, along with human intelligence operations and many other aspects of signals intelligence and those aspects in terms of going after our trade secrets.
Exactly. And two of the key stories we go through in the book is how the CIA stood down a special unit in the 90s to go after Chinese espionage. And later under the Biden administration, they shut down the DOJ's China Initiative, which was a dedicated working group at the Department of Justice to tackle this issue. And it really underscores this point about hubris, the lack of resolve to take on this threat, and the implications that we now have to live with. And one final key point, and we go through this in the book, is the approach to intelligence that China takes. And this is deeply rooted in historic traditions all the way to the great military philosopher Sun Tzu, to Mao Zedong. And the Chinese place much greater emphasis on the strategic importance of conducting espionage and investing the resources in it. And one of the key unique aspects of this espionage is what we call crowdsource espionage. They create these incentives and then let the spies go out there and organically steal those insights, those knowledge, those secrets without any overt control, which is really unprecedented and a far break from the type of spycraft that David would have been involved in terms of going to a diplomatic function, recruiting a source, and so forth. Moving into our fourth key insight is that the Great Heist is really best understood through real stories, through anecdotes. And it really shows through those anecdotes how China has penetrated U.S. innovation. And just to kick off, one of the key stories we had is exclusive insider sources to Tesla. And Tesla has been the target, the barrage of Chinese intelligence threat. They have recruited multiple sources within Tesla to steal information, stealing their most valuable secrets. And this has included what Elon Musk termed a billion-dollar thumb drive, some of their most proprietary sensitive information. And we go through those cases. We tell how they happened, how the sources are recruited, what their motivations are, how they were able to funnel out this information from the company. And then we step back and say, well, what are the implications of this? And the Tesla case is perfect because it shows how Tesla was once the juggernaut of the electronic vehicle market. And China, again, in their master plan called Made in China 2025, which they wrote in 2015, said, we want to go out and conquer the EV market. And espionage is what we argue was a key vector for them accomplishing that. And if we, again, step back and look, BYD, China's EV company, has now surpassed Tesla and is the leading EV giant in the world. And just to put the cherry on top, the fascinating part of all of this is that one of the main capital funders for BYD, actually the main capital funder, was none other than America's own Warren Buffett.
Well, that's a perfect segue then into another story that we tell of the many that we have in the book associated with funding, both onshore in China with U.S. capital, and then the barrier of entry being so low and oftentimes disregarded by U.S. regulators on Chinese capital coming into the U.S. in order to penetrate Silicon Valley with small venture contributions, as the Chinese would put it, toward their investments in the hopes that, of course, that technology will pay off while at the same time gaining access in these startups. And there's probably a great story among several that can capture this whole idea under Sequoia Capital. Sequoia Capital in 2005, so really a good 20 years ago, Neil Shen, a Chinese-born trader with a Yale MBA and a buffed-up resume, got the backing of two Sequoia Capital partners in order to launch Sequoia China. I underscore that because the Sequoia was renowned for making sound investments in early stage companies like Apple at the time, Atari, Google, just to name a few. But the fact is that Sequoia China then went on to fund a number of companies that today are unquestionably tied to the People's Liberation Army in terms of their military modernization there. One by name, Four Paradigm, is building the artificial intelligence for PLA battlefield programs. I just use this, Andrew, as a short encapsulation of the impact that U.S. funding, both in China as well as the allowance of Chinese funding to come to America and invest in our industrial base in such a way that they then leverage that access for their benefit, as well as acquiring then, of course, the intellectual properties as a result of that access that they have through capital funding in the United States.
That's great. It really leads into our fifth and final insight, which is what can be done. And the point here is that America must transform how we think about economic security and really view that as national security. And we need to reorient our national security infrastructure like we did after World War II to launch our own whole of society approach to counter China's whole of society approach. And this is what we term the counter heist. And we lay out a 7-point plan for how the United States can wield from government to industry to academia to work together to take on this threat and finally neutralize China's theft of our most precious secrets. And one of the key recommendations we have is the creation of an Economic Security Council within the National Security Council, giving this issue the prioritization, the focus, the attention, the resources it really deserves, and that only really that proximity to the White House can really give. And a couple of the key issues we highlight are what you call crown jewels, and companies themselves have to develop their own counter heist playbook, which we talk about, and also develop this list of crown jewels. What must be protected? What are the most important secrets proprietary information that you must have, that you really have to focus your resources on. And we step back and talk about how that needs to be done at the national level. And really the one issue where we can't afford to lose is the AI arms race. And of course, AI, artificial intelligence, will, you know, whether you're a skeptic or a true believer, undoubtedly play a key role in shaping the future contours of power, particularly on the battlefield. We're already seeing that in Ukraine, especially with autonomous drone systems. And China has already, and we go through this in the book, stolen critical AI secrets and now use that to, again, catapult their own technology and their own power to the forefront of the 21st century. And what we talk about as well in the book, and which is perhaps the most ominous dynamic of the Great Heist, is this evolution into this kind of final phase of this project. And this is really turning from just stealing secrets to actually be able to deliver kinetic effects through our supply chain, through malware, through cyber attacks. And we talk about how China has embedded sabotage kinetic effects into solar panel converters. They've launched an unprecedented cyber attack campaign to embed malware into everything from our electric systems to our water systems, an operation called Volt Typhoon, to even students in the University of Michigan being arrested by the FBI to try to smuggle crop funguses, which could eradicate and destroy our own cereal production into the United States. So this is that evolution of the Great Heist from just simply stealing secrets to potentially launching some type of surprise kinetic effect on the infrastructure of the United States. And that goes back again to one of the key recommendations we have in our counter heist in the conclusion, is that we need to strengthen and harden both the physical and cyber infrastructure of the United States.
That's well said, Andrew. I would conclude with a couple sentences. We often think about what should we have been doing before the calamity occurs. And so what this book gives the readers, both in the public square, in government, as well as Wall Street and Main Street, the guideposts as well as the roadmap on how to address it before it is too late to do so. The second thought here is, as you noted, China has an evolutionary process in terms of the use of what it's doing in the collection of data, along with the know-how and the intellectual property, to weaponize it in a very material way in terms of damaging our national security interests across the board, in whether it's when there is a kinetic war with Taiwan associated with that, or in some other venue. China will be well ahead of where we thought it would be in order to take us out in terms of an adversary. The war is already here.
Thank you, David. We really hope you appreciate, enjoy the 5 insights we've developed for the Next Big Idea Club. Again, the book, The Great Heist, China's Epic Campaign to Steal America's Secrets, will be released December 2nd. David, thank you.
Thank you, Andrew.